Ducks fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walters, along with my co-host, Eddie Richard, and we are back. And so is Ducks Hockey. We're happy to be here with you. We had a little bit of crazy scheduling, so we're trying to do the shows on Mondays, but we'll see how it works out this season, and we'll get you caught up with all the games throughout the season. We're kind of go back to our format that we had before. We're going to talk about the games in the first segment of the show. Then we'll talk about the Ducks as far as injuries, trades, team news, and whatnot. Then we'll have a section with a bunch of fan questions, and then, of course, our league news. So we're kind of going to, revert back to that format now that we're getting into the swing of things with Ducks hockey being back. So we'll give you some of our first impressions. The Ducks actually are in a playoff spot right now. They're tied with several teams at 8 points. We're 7 games in at the time of recording this show. It looked like the Ducks started out kind of awful, I guess, against Vegas the first 2 games, and then improved after that. What do you think, Eddie? Just your initial reaction before we dive into the games. What do you think about the Ducks and how they've done in these first opening weeks of the NHL season?
I'm glad they're back, and I'm glad I'm one of the people that can watch the games. I know a lot of fans aren't able to watch the games right now. It's really sad and unfortunate for them. I'm still kind of on the fence about the Ducks right now. It seems to me, and I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but it seems that they're playing some boring hockey right now, with the exception of John Gibson, who's just playing like God. The rest of the team is not doing that well. I mean, there's a few good positive things about the team, and we'll get into that when we talk about these games, like the bottom 6 players. But it just seems kind of like a different Ducks team, and it seems like they don't even know what's going on within their organization or what they're doing or what their identity is. It just seems like they're just out there going through the motions, or they have those extra cobwebs from a long, long offseason. So I'm hopefully when they get some more games under their feet and they start playing better, getting some chemistry and improving on much-needed stats from last season.
Yeah, absolutely right. I agree. The way this team's gone right now, it's very weird. And we'll have a segment a little bit later in the show, too, called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. If you checked out Eddie's recap that he did for one of the games, he put that in there. That might be a regular segment that we do on the show, because this team is it's just crazy. They're very one like extreme good or one extreme bad. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the world we live in anyways right now with all these extremes. So that's where the Ducks are at. What we'll do, though, is we'll talk about some of these games, and we'll group them together, obviously with the schedule being that the Ducks and all the teams, are playing other teams in pretty much, 2-game series. Some are a little bit longer here and there, but that's how we'll do it. And when the Ducks started out, they played Vegas, and the first game, the first couple minutes, looked terrible, right? The Ducks gave up 2 goals in the first 3 minutes. And we're like, oh my God, this is going to be a long season. We started joking around, posting the gifts, drinking, and all that kind of stuff. And we're like, what the hell? And then, of course, the guy that Eddie and I said would be an awesome player in the future came through. Max Comtois scored 2 goals to get the Ducks back in to game 1. And then eventually the Ducks lost it in the 3rd and blew that game. They then followed it up with a better performance in game 2 against Vegas. Again, Comtois scoring. The only Duck to score in the first 2 games. Like you said, I mean, it was like the Gibson-Comtois show in the first, 2 battles here. And it looked like the Ducks were going to maybe win this game. And then, of course, late goal by Vegas by, none other than William Karlsson. And then, of course, overtime, where we all know the Ducks do, unfortunately, poorly. And they lost right off the faceoff, which was kind of a backburner, backbreaker, there in that game. So the Ducks did get a point, obviously, in overtime. But I really thought the first game was frustrating. I thought they improved in the second game, Eddie. And I guess the theme in the opening series, if you will, against Vegas is just poor starts, poor finishes, I guess, is the kind of the way to look at these games. And that's what did this team, did the Ducks in these 2 contests.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to hear anyone ever make fun of roller hockey, because Comtois was playing a lot of roller hockey in the summer. or not the summer, but the off season, and it seems like it's paid off. Him scoring all the goals he did in the early beginning, so that was kind of fun to see. It's good to see him developing into that player that we both know he can be. He's a physical player too, so he brings that element to his game. That first game was bad, and it kind of went a lot worse if it wasn't for Courtois scoring those goals. They played a good second. They shut Vegas down, and it was pretty much even at that point. But then, like you said, they just broke down and just lost it in the third. That second game was a heartbreaker because that was their best game of the second game they played. They really brought it to Vegas. They really skated with them. But just that overtime period was where they shot themselves in the foot. They have Raquel, just, I don't know what he was doing, forgot that, you know, there was a 3-on-3. He had to come back and play defense. And then what really frustrated me was watching Cam Fowler. You're a defenseman. You've been in the league for years. You know your position really well, and you're really good at it. There's a 2-on-1, and you're going and taking the person with the puck. That's a big no-no. That's hockey 101. When you're on 2-on-1, you always take the person without the puck and let your goalie handle the player with the puck. That's basic hockey 101. They teach you that when you first play beginner league, when you're a young kid, that's always one of the first defensive rules. Take the player without the puck. And he just he didn't do that, and it resulted in a quick goal. That was just really frustrating, especially a game where I think they could have won. But they didn't even have a fight in overtime period. 7 seconds later, you're just done, and just frustrating.
You know what? A little funny story about that. So I was at out and about with my better half, and when the Ducks went to overtime, I had to run to the bathroom really quick. You know, unfortunately, I had some adult beverages and I had to go. And when I came back, she told me that they had lost. I didn't even see it live. I was so mad. I had to really go to the restroom, and I ran. Like, literally went and came back, and she's like, yeah, they scored and they lost. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I literally just ran to the bathroom and back. Like, you know, I mean, we know there's not that normal break between the periods, right? And I'm like, these mofos. I was like pissed. And I'm like, oh my God, man.
So it after, was your fault they you lost know, that game then.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to go to the bathroom. I drank too much. I had to go. I thought, I'll go real quick, it'll all be fine, right? So from now on, the rest of this season, even though they did lose in overtime again, and I was present for that one later, you know, in these games here, I will not go to the bathroom during overtime.
Hey, just keep...
I am making that promise.
Just keep a Gatorade bottle with you, an empty one handy.
Oh my God, now you're talking about my other job. But anyways... no, I will not. I promise all of you out there, I will not go to the restroom or leave my seat in overtime. You know, it didn't work, like I said, the other time. But anyways, the little side story there. So we see these first two games. You're like, okay, it's the Comtois Gibson show. You know, okay. I mean, game one, pretty much. Game two, like we said, they did play better. So we're kind of like, okay, let's see what's going to happen. They then had the Wild... one of Eddie's very favorite teams, and they got kind of in a similar situation in the first game against Minnesota. They got ahead by a goal early in the third period by Delorier, who also had a couple goals in here. It was Delorier and Comtois basically scoring all the goals in the first couple games of the season, and the Ducks were able to hang on and win this one. So this was good. You know, the penalty kill has been outstanding. One of the bright points for the Ducks. Minnesota had 5 power plays, and the Ducks, you know, killed off all of them. So, you know, great game there. They pulled it off. And then the second game against the Wild was like the first game against Vegas, right? The Wild got ahead by 2 goals. Ducks came back and scored 2 goals. You had Delorier getting another one, Fowler getting on the board. And then, unfortunately, the Ducks gave up an early goal in the third, and they, you know, couldn't come back. So they ended up splitting these games here, Eddie. I thought... You know, I thought they started improving a little bit better. I mean, they, like we said, you know, they at least won one, lost one. Looking at, you know, everything that was going on, you know, this team hasn't shown quit so much. I mean, they got down early against Vegas in game one. They came back. Yes, they did lose it in in period three. This game, though, too, they got down by 2 against Minnesota. They rallied, and yeah, they lost in the third period. So that's one thing. The comeback kids, they're maybe not completing the comeback all the way, but there is fight, and they are, you know, not just laying down and losing. But I liked what I saw in these other games. Like I said, not perfect, but still relying on Gibson a lot, which we got a lot of fan questions on Gibson. We'll get to those later in the show. But I felt like the first two games was, you know, they really were kind of iffy. And I feel like they kind of went up a little bit, Eddie. I mean, they didn't improve greatly, but I feel like it's that little engine that could, right? And it's kind of going up the hill a little bit, right? And I think that they started kind of making a couple strides, even though it's really been Delorier and Comtois, the only ones scoring all the goals pretty much in the first four games outside of the one Cam Fowler goal.
Oh, yeah. They played much better against the Wild. Unfortunately, the Wild got that win. That pissed me off. I think everyone on our group chat, our Ducks and Pucks group chat, was asking if I was okay because they lost the Wild. But one thing to note in this game, too, something positive. I think Miller played outstanding for being out so long and being his age and him contemplating retirement. And he didn't have a contract till like way late until when the season was starting. I think he didn't play that bad. He still looks like a really top quality backup goalie. So that was something positive. Which one thing I really hated about these games. Oh, you know what? Delorier, too. I had to throw him love. That was awesome, him scoring a goal. I wanted you to drop the gloves, but if you can keep scoring, then so be it. And if you want to turn into a goal scorer, go ahead and do that. You are awesome. But back to my I guess my complaint now is I think Borgstad, whatever his name from the Wild, runs over Gibson. And then Shattenkirk kind of comes up to him and kind of just taps him and doesn't do anything. Like I don't understand what was the point of that. Yes, Gibson's out of his crease, and I guess it's fair game, but if someone's going to take a run at your goalie right there, you better be there to kick the shit out of him. I don't care who you are. I don't care if Shattenkirk's not a fighter. He would have got his ass kicked. That doesn't matter. That's not the point. You get in there, and you defend your team and have some fight in you, and that just kind of like – that kind of play kind of shows or tells me the Ducks aren't really there to play. It's just kind of going through the motions. And, yeah, they improved and they played a hell of a lot better than they did with Vegas, but – they also aren't playing a top-heavy team like Vegas. And it just, I don't know, that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way of how it doesn't seem like they have so much fight into them. I posted a tweet, too. They're allowing players just to walk right in front of Gibson and Miller in both these two games they've played. And you shouldn't do that. If you're a player for an opposing team, you shouldn't be able to be comfortably walking in front of the opposing goalie without getting your head knocked into. Ducks are just aren't there throwing their physicality and making them those players pay for their mistakes. And that's just really unfortunate. And the Ducks need that grit and they need the players to kind of be afraid to do those moves. You shouldn't allow those one, two, or three opportunities on your goalies. You should be in there really quick and making life hell for the opposing players.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And part of the problem, too, is the one player that's always been there to do that has been Josh Manson. And you know, during this couple games here, remember he got in that little tussle and ended up you know, now he's out for 6 weeks. So the Ducks lose their one, you know, tough guy on the blue line that would be in there doing his thing, like you said, standing up you know, for Gibson or any other player for that matter. So you lose him on the blue line you know, in these games against the Wild, which was huge. And then the Ducks basically have to now shift the blue line around, right? We've seen Hakapa come up and start playing more minutes. And then Larson, Walensky, and then also Hutton coming in here, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So I think that's another part moving forward from here that falls in line with what you're talking about, Eddie, because without him there, and like you said, Shattenkirk kind of going over there and like, you know, hey man, like don't hit my goalie. It's like, come on, dude. Like really? Like if, like you said, you touch my goalie, then I'm gonna have something to say and do about it. I'm not just gonna run over there and tap you. You're, you know, gonna get, you know, a stick in the face, pushed against the board, something. I'm not saying go nuts and get a penalty out of it, but you're going to make a response.
Yeah, or injure the player. Just go in and defend your, show your goalie, especially someone like Gibson, that, hey, you know, you have our back all the time, making all these saves, keeping us in these games. When someone does something like that to you, look, I'm going to sacrifice myself, my body, even though if I'm not a fighter or whatever, I'll get my ass kicked. At least I stood up for you and kind of like had your back. You didn't even see that. I'd be pissed if I was Gibson. I'd be like, you know what? Screw this. This guy's not going to have my back. Like, you know, screw that. I'd be really furious.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what the Ducks, you know, I think that's been one issue, like, not, you know, talking about official stats or anything like that, which we'll get into in the next little segment here, but that's definitely been something that's missed here, is that level of grit. And we've talked about this through seasons, you know, before with everything, but, you know, you end up seeing Manson and Greenway get into this thing at the end of the first period in the third game there, and then they're out. And I saw some people, too, it's kind of funny, they were talking about fighting and how fighting shouldn't be in the league, and I was kind of cracking up. I'm like, they weren't really fighting, like, if you're talking about squaring off and everything. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Manson did kind of throw in a late punch there. Didn't get an extra 2 minutes, thankfully. But they were just going at it, you know, and it's just tough. It's an unfortunate thing now because, like we said, he's out. That grit part is kind of missing. It's kind of led to what Eddie talked about. It's kind of been boring Ducks hockey a little bit. I'm not going to lie, watching some of these first four games. I guess the first one was maybe exciting because a lot of goals and coming back and forth and stuff. But some of it's been a little bit slow and dry. I mean, it is what it is. I'm trying to be real, not just sit here and tell you that it's all great and everything. I mean, yes, the Ducks are in a playoff spot. It's early. But so we see that happen in Minnesota. And then I think another equation to the way the Ducks are playing a lot of times goes with who they play. And we see in the next two games they play Colorado, and now we see them playing this north-south game. We see them playing a high-tempo game. We see them, you know, almost get 40 shots, you know, against Colorado in one of these games. It's like, well, who the hell is this team? But then the next game we only see them get 15 shots, and they end up winning that game. So it's like, what the hell is going on with this team? It's crazy, right? They get 38 shots in one game, and they lose 3-2. Then they get 15 shots and they win 3-1. I mean, it's like, what is going on with this team? And of course, they did lose in overtime again in this game against Colorado. And yes, I was in my seat, so we can't blame me for this one. We can blame me for the other one, right? But you know, overall, I thought the Ducks played better for the most part as far as tempo and speed and things like that against this Colorado team. And, you know, the Ducks keep ending up, you know, getting points. They got 3 out of 4 points against these, you know, high-flying Colorado team that's now in the Ducks division. We know it's one of the teams that's projected to be in the top three. So I liked what I saw, despite the shots on goal in the second game I thought was terrible. But the second game, the Ducks also, you know, kept the chances down for Colorado. So I think that was a huge key in these two games, was slowing down the offense. You know, even though they lost that first one overtime, but they didn't let the Avalanche run wild. You know what I mean, Eddie? I mean, you know, this is your second favorite team.
Oh, yeah. And just kind of the back skate real quick, going back to the Minnesota game, you did mention Jordan Greenway. I thought it was funny when Greenway, there was a little scuffle in front of the net, and I think he had his head down at first, and he tries to go after Delorier, and they're both, you know, kind of just barking back and forth, and then a couple of the Wild skaters, when they're skating back to the bench, I don't know if someone mentioned to Greenway, like, hey, that's one player you don't want to screw with. Because after that, I didn't see Greenway try to, you know, bark at Delorier or anything. He kind of just kind of stayed away from him. And I thought that was kind of funny. I don't know if one of the Wild players, like, dude, you really don't want to scrap with this guy. Yeah, you're bigger than him, but you're not going to win that fight. So I thought that was pretty funny. Now, going back to the Colorado, yeah, I think they played great. I think they kind of took advantage of Colorado that first game. Colorado was coming back. They're back-to-back. They just lost to the Kings the night before. I think with Colorado, too, what they do is they kind of shoot themselves in the foot. They expect, because they're that powerhouse of a team and everyone's talking them up, when they play teams like LA or Anaheim, for those bottom-barrel teams, I think they come in the rink and expect it's going to be an easy game, and these teams aren't going to be hungry for a win. And I think that's what happened here. The Ducks played really well. They shut down McKinnon. They shut down the Avalanche team. I think there was in the second period, there was eight or 9 minutes. The Avalanche didn't even get a shot on net. They just absolutely dummied them. And it was pretty fun to see. It was good to see the Ducks to kind of shut down a powerhouse, a team like that, until, of course, until, there's always that until, the overtime period where, once again, they led a 2-on-1. Luckily, Gibson makes a hell of a save. Landeskog with the wraparound, and you have Silverberg just right there. I don't know if he's asking Gibson when the Sonny Steakhouse is going to open up again, because it's all he was doing was just standing there. Like, dude, what are you doing? Yeah, I know Landeskog's a pretty big boy. He's a power forward, and I'm pretty sure if Silverberg would have stepped up to him, he would have been put on his ass, but at least that puck wouldn't have went into the net, and the Ducks probably could have just rid their momentum and stole a win. But unfortunately, it didn't happen in another overtime where they just failed to execute. Now that now that second game too, they went bananas. That was probably the best game, and it was fun. The speed was there. They just didn't generate a lot of scoring chances, but they made it count when they did, and they pretty much just let the Avalanche just shoot and shoot, and then have like nothing to show for it. And that was getting into their head. All the offensive chances they had, and how they were out shooting the Ducks, they just could not get anything past Gibson. So that was a pretty good win, especially dropping that overtime. It's not bad for playing the arguably the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, and finally with this team, Silverberg, Raquel, Henrique, they all got goals in these two games. You know, that line had just like disappeared in the first four games of the season. You know, you're talking about your basically your best three scoring forwards last year, and nothing. So now you see them come through here, which is a great sign. And then I crack up too, that overtime that you're talking about, a lot of varying opinions on that. I saw people upset because Gibson tried to advance that pass and, you know, basically get a quick transition. The puck got intercepted. He makes that initial ridiculous save. And then, like you said, the second goal or the second attempt ends up being that goal. And you know, Silverberg's just standing there. I don't know what he was doing. Like you said, hanging out to go eat. It's true. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, I mean, he didn't even have to go, put a big check or anything. All he had to do really is just stand next to the side of the net and block off that wraparound attempt, and we're probably still playing. And, I mean, yeah, Gibson did that pass and it got intercepted, but I don't fault Gibson on that at all. And I saw a lot of people, you know, like, oh, he shouldn't have passed it up there and da-da-da. Well, it's like, I mean, what do you want him to do? He's trying to pass it up to the blue line and catch Colorado, and they made a great play intercepting it and bring it back, and then he makes even a better save on the initial part. So I don't fault him on that. I mean, of all the people we're looking at here, Gibson is like the last person you should be complaining about on anything. So I was happy with the way that they played overall. Yeah, that little breakdown. Overtime, still a sore spot for the Ducks, right? We've just never figured it out, never done well. So a little, you know, frustration there. And then, like you said, they came back, played decent in the second game against Colorado, except for the shots, and got the win. And then, of course, we're in the middle of this battle now with Arizona. This game was, like, to me, was probably the most boringest game. The Ducks did beat them in the first, you know, battle, 1-0. You had Heinen, another forward, finally getting in there, getting a goal. And, you know, the Ducks, they gave up 31 shots against the, you know, Coyotes, but slowed them down. Stopped all their power play chances. I thought it was, again, a solid performance by the team, and they, you know, ended up getting the win out of this one. We had one fan ask about Hutton's debut, Big John the Bear on Instagram, and, you know, Hutton looked great. This was the first time that he finally got in there. I know a lot of people were asking. He played over 20 minutes. He had 4 hits, 3 blocked shots, and a shot on goal and a plus minus of 1. I thought he had a good game. And you had Letary in there too. He finally got a crack at it. He played 13 minutes. He got about a minute on the power play. He had 2 shots on goal, 4 hits, and a plus minus of plus 1. So I thought those new guys did well in this game. And I think that, like I said, Eddie, I think the Ducks keep going up, you know, not hugely, but, you know, they're doing it. They're getting points, and that's the key thing so far this season.
Yeah. I like what I see from Hutton. He went in there, he did his job. He didn't wow anyone, but he wasn't all horrible. He played his position well, and I like what I saw from him. It's going to be a great addition to the bottom pairing defenseman, and he might be asked to be probably step up and have a bigger role with Manson out, and I think he can be up to the task, and it's going to be a good fill-in. So I think it was a good signing, and I think he had a good debut game. Like you said, that game against Arizona, yeah, it was kind of boring. It was kind of slow and dry. They got the win, so that's one positive thing. And then Heinen got the I guess the lone goal, really, really, really beautiful goal too. So I was at the gym watching this game. So if you guys are one of the people that can't watch the games, the gym has it on. So if you go to your gym, you can watch it there.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. A lot of people hit me up this season about where to watch the games. I have AT&T, so I'm able to see it on there. But if you don't, you know, if they don't end up being on channel 13 or you don't have NHL Network or whatnot, I mean, you're kind of SOL, which it's unfortunate, you know, especially with everything going on right now. You know, you'd think they'd make it, you know, more accessible, but is what it is.
Hockey's not for everyone, I guess. Their slogan.
I guess, right? Depending on what cable provider you have. All right, so, you know, looking at these games, kind of put this together. We talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, there's some good stuff going on, some bad stuff, and not too ugly, but one ugly in there, I guess. So, you know, we talk about the good, right? The obvious is Gibson. He was named the third star of the week. He had a 2-0-1 record. He stopped 95 out of 99 shots, a 960 save percentage, and a goals against of 1.33. And he had one shutout during that time when they named him a third star. That was before the second one, obviously, against Arizona. So that's, of course, the good. And all of you are blowing it up with questions. You know, the Vezina trophy talk is getting nuts. A lot of you guys asking those questions. Blown us up on Instagram, which has been fantastic. But we had Shredden37 ask, you know, is Gibson, you know, will he be a legitimate run at the Vezina Trophy? We have another guy, 29, Josh No WAKO. He asks, you know, will Gibson get us into the playoffs? We have Cool A109 also asks us, you know, what do you think of Gibson's season, especially that last game against the Coyotes? And just tons of questions about Vezina. You know, it's getting thrown out there and everything like that. You're not going to get an argument against me. I mean, looking at these stats, too, Eddie and I were talking about this. And you're looking at the goalies that have played six or more games at this point, obviously, when we're recording the show. And Gibson's basically number one in everything. If you go on NHL.com, you can pull up those stats and you can arrange them, you know, by all the different categories. But you look at him, it's been just phenomenal. Of those goalies that have played six or more games, his save percentage is .948, which is the highest. His goals against is 1.67, which is the lowest. And outside of Edmonton, because they played more games, he's had the most shots against at 191. So, to say he's been playing well, yeah. Also, the two shutouts in there, too. So, I mean, he's the story of the team right now. The other good part is the penalty kill, which has almost been at 90%, top five in the league. Another great story for the team. But as far as the Vezina Trophy, Eddie, a lot of people talk about it. The Ducks get shafted all the time, I feel. I mean, to you and me, it's a no-brainer. If he's able to keep these kind of numbers up for the rest of the season, I don't know how you argue with it. Look, comparing him to the other goalies that have started, you know, the same amount of games, that's what I'm looking at. But we know how the NHL hates the Ducks, so it probably won't happen. You know what I mean, Eddie?
No, he'll probably get fined and suspended for something. Who knows? No, you know what? Yeah, he's playing lights out. He's playing great. Hopefully he makes the All-Star team. If not, we'll have Wild Wing next. Oh, no, never mind. No All-Star game, so that's good. We can scratch that, but no, he's playing to that level. Now, if he's going to get it, sometimes seeing these awards, it's more of a popularity contest or which team's trending in the right direction. So if the Ducks are in the bottom of the barrel and he has the best stats, I don't think he's going to get that much love. I'm glad that EA Sports, their NHL 21, he's the second best goalie in the league, just under Vasilevsky. So at least they give him that recognition and that love. It doesn't really matter really to anything. I did notice something about Gibson. I don't know if you noticed it, Mike, when he was having an interview. He looked like he bulked up a little bit. His arms look a little more toned and a little bigger than last season's.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he did put on a little bit of muscle there in the off season. I agree. I think that's definitely been added in there. And I think the other thing we talked about is that before the season started, I believe we talked about in the last show, that he was actually practicing in Irvine at the Great Park before the season, like really, like, you know, hitting it hard. And there were a few other players too on the team that were doing things before the actual, you know, I guess mini camp or whatever. Because remember, they started a few days before some of the other teams. Not enough, in my opinion. But the players took it upon themselves to go do things. And I can't speak for the other players, but for Gibson, it's definitely shown in these games. You look at these stats, and we'll go over some of them. It's just crazy what he's done. Basically, since game one, insane. We're talking about, you know, a 5-on-5, his save percentage is .960, stopping 157 of 163 shots. As far as some advanced stats, he's given up 7 fewer goals than expected goals. And he's also faced, you know, 65 high danger shots, which is crazy. And in these games, too, I mean, you look at outside the first game, the Ducks have only scored 10 goals in 6 games. I mean, it's just stupid, Eddie, to look at what he's doing right now. Plus, with what I guess we could talk about, the bad part of the team is the Ducks' offense. They're only averaging 1.71 goals per game, which is dead last in the league. They're also averaging 24.6 shots per game, which is second to last in the league. So the good thing for the Ducks is Gibson and the penalty kill. The bad thing is the offense and the shots on goal, Eddie. I mean, holy crap. I mean, I'm happy the Ducks are above. Like we've talked about, you know, they may have a chance to end up fourth this season. But it's all penalty kill on Gibson right now. I mean, the offense is, oh my God, it's really scary. And like you said, sometimes makes the games a little boring to watch.
Yeah, that penalty kill, it's a plus, though. Hopefully, fourth best in the league. Hopefully they can kind of rise up to number one. But just, yeah, I don't know. Like I said it like offline, too. Like these games are just getting kind of hard to watch. And I wish the Ducks, I hope it's just having that long time off, that more extended time off than a lot of other teams did. And I hope each game they start getting that back. They start getting the grit back, their feet, and start scoring a hell of a lot more goals, please. It's just have the players start scoring. But, yeah, just Gibson has been our savior. I get people, God or Jesus, whatever, saying all the stuff about Gibson, but I think he's really playing like it. I know a lot of people were really critical about Gibson and questioning if he's that superstar. I think it's safe to say that he's truly is the Duck superstar and probably one of the top players in the league, especially a goaltender.
100%. I mean, he's what's keeping the Ducks rolling all these games pretty much this season, which, I mean, it is a short season, so he can play a majority of these contests if they need him to. The only other real point to look at, the ugly part, is the Ducks power play. We've talked about this before. They're the only team right now that has not scored a power play goal in the league. So that's the ugly part. So looking at everything, the Ducks not able to score goals, not able to get a lot of shots on net, you know, in each contest. And like we said, power play, I joke on Twitter when I'm covering the games, because just so you all know, there's a bunch of us that run the Twitter. It's not just me. But when I'm running it, I like to joke about the power play and how, oh, here we go. And then, oh, they didn't score. Big surprise. But what's interesting is with all the stuff going on, Murray's still trying to do stuff. And we found this out for the Pierre-Luc Dubois sweepstakes, if you will. The Ducks ended up being one of the final three teams. They ended up not getting the deal made, basically. It was Winnipeg that did it. They had Patrick Laine and Jake Roslev go to Columbus for Dubois, and also a 2022 third-round pick. So that's what ended up happening. I thought it was interesting. They talked about, you know, the 31 Thoughts podcast with Elliot Freeman, that the Ducks basically are still looking to try to get offense, and it doesn't look like the Ducks, you know, offered up Drysdale or Zegras in that deal. But, you know, what do you make of this, Eddie? It seems like the Ducks are now, it's early, but they're in a playoff position. You know, they're fighting it out right now. They're basically in the middle of the pack, I guess you could say, because of all the, who they're all tied with. But Murray's going out there and trying to get an offensive player, which, of course, we're looking at the problems here with the team, and that's where we're struggling. Do you think, you know, a lot of questions we have, too, from a bunch of people, is it going to help? We had Dizzy All Day on Instagram asked that. Adam T-Town asked if we could, sign or try and trade to get another player as well. And TripSB underscore 33 also asked that too about trying to get wingers and whatnot. You think that's something that's going to happen to prove this team? Or like, what do we do, you know, basically to get this team where we're at? Because, yes, you know, we're playing really well in certain areas and not so well in other areas. But as of right now, we're technically in contention for a playoff spot.
Yeah, you know what? I was really surprised to find out the Ducks were in the running. One of the three teams, the finalists for that trade. It was kind of interesting. But then I'm thinking about it. The Blue Jackets asked for Nick Suzuki from the Canadiens, and he's a really high-end talent. He's playing well. He played well last season in the playoffs, and he's playing well now. I bet you Vegas is kicking themselves in the ass for letting him go, but they got Pacioretty, so it's a win-win for everybody. But I was surprised, but I'm glad that Murray didn't go and try to give out Zegras, because I'm pretty sure they asked about Zegras or Drysdale, and I'm glad that he didn't go out and offer them. I'm really curious to see what he offered. I saw people joking on Twitter saying, oh, he got like Grant and a fifth, and I've joked back, like, that's way too much for Dubois, but no, it was kind of interesting to see him trying to go for a player like that. It's really not his MO, so kind of A for effort on that, but there's no way he was in a match with the Jets were matching, so that was not going to happen. But it's good to see him trying to improve the team that way. But then again, I just really can't see one player really turning the tide on what the problems of this team is going through in this early season. It's terrible. I think you have a better chance of letting all the fans back in the building and scream shoot on the power play so they can maybe shoot more and get some goals to them, at least not even improve it, but to actually get a stat on there, because zero. And, you know, I feel bad because I was talking crap saying like, oh, the Wild are 0-16 on the power play. Oh, that tweet didn't really age well because the Ducks are over here with no power play goals at all. So as far as improving the team, I don't know, Mike. I just can't see a player that we can get with the assets that we have without giving up one of Drysdale or Zegras to improve this team. I think this team has to improve themselves. They have to keep shooting the puck and getting those quality shots. Well, at this point, just shoot the damn puck, because obviously it's better than not doing anything at all. There's not a player that just sticks out to me that can improve this team. I think generate some offense. I think the only solution, or not really solution, but I say bring up some guys from the goals, let them have some NHL chances. I know they're hungry, and if they get the opportunity to play in NHL, they're going to try to capitalize on that. They're going to try to make those shots when other players kind of just hold on to the puck a little bit more and make those passes. I don't know. Maybe there's hungrier players. Maybe you have to let the players from the taxi squad get in. Backus hasn't played yet. Maybe he's hungry, and when he gets the opportunity, he might bring something that can help the Ducks, even though he's at the tail end of his career. Just we have to do something that's going to fire up this team and kind of light that fire under their ass so they can start scoring. They desperately need it. You can't have a player like Carter Rowney or Delorier being your top scorers. I think Rowney leads the Ducks in points right now. It's just, yeah, it's good for him, but that's not his role in the team. He's not that offensive player. We have players that really significantly need to step up. One I'll call out is Raquel. He just hasn't been the same since his, I guess, that contract year he had when he did really well. But just we have to do something. We have to change up our style. The coaching staff needs to do something different. The players need to hold themselves accountable too and do something different. We can't just do this the whole season, and we can't rely on Gibson and expect him to kind of show up to that and be that number one god thing. It's just going to get old. He's going to get burnt out. He's going to get hurt. Something has to happen, but I can't have a player off the top of my head that's going to come in and significantly change the Ducks' tide, unless you're talking about a player like McDavid or something, or McKinnon, Drysdale. Those players aren't going to come easy, and they're not going to be available. So we have to just try to figure out what we're doing. And like I keep saying on every show, and I'll say it again, we have to find the identity and build off there.
Yeah, that's been part of the problem. The Ducks' identity, we've talked about kind of the lack of grit in there. Special teams on the power play, not getting people in front of the net, not getting people in front of the net on 5-on-5 as well. You know, it's funny. I didn't even realize the point totals. I looked it up right now when you said that. I'm like, Carter Rowney has 4 points and leads the Ducks. I mean, that should not be happening right now. That's like beyond ridiculous. I mean, he's got the most points. I mean, are you kidding me right now? I didn't even realize that. All right. And then you've got, you know, Comtois, Delorier with 3-3, and Getzlaf with 3. And like you said, the line that's been disappointing was Henrique, Silverberg, and Raquel. until these last couple games. Like, I don't know what happened with those guys. Disappeared. Those are the guys that we've been looking for. So I don't think, like you said, one player is going to do it. I don't think it's going to fix all the problems. I think having Manson out, and don't forget also Sonny Milano is out as well on the IR, is a problem. So you got a couple guys there that, could help the team, like we said, with the grit and with the scoring are some of the problems. And I think that the Ducks are going to run into this too. If they're trying to trade for offense and get basically an NHL-ready player now that's scoring goals and whatnot, teams are going to come asking for Drysdale and Zegras. I mean, you can't not expect that. And also, you know, Murray's not going to do that. There's no way he's going to trade one of those two guys unless it's some crazy all-star player, like you said, like a McDavid or something like that. So I don't see the Ducks doing something big. I mean, I was surprised that they got that far, like you said, with Dubois. I really was. I thought, okay, they're going to be interested, but are they going to get this close? And they did. You know, they got down to the final three, which is, you know, pretty intense, but I don't see that. And I guess it kind of leads to one of the other fan questions, more so like, you know, who would the Ducks trade and whatnot, because we had Sonny Siegel ask, you know, has Larson plateaued? And I say yes. I think Larson is one name that I would trade. I would throw him out there and do it. And I think if you're talking about forwards, the other names out there that, you know, maybe are more likely, you're talking about Jones, Steele, and Terry. I'm not saying I've given up on these guys at all. I'm not saying that. We saw what happened with Carlson, right? A little dagger there. Or Theodore, too, which, again, that was expansion draft. I know, expansion draft was that one, right? So, you know, there's some of that going on. But some of these guys, it might be the ones you look at. I mean, I don't know. Max Jones has been injured. He's been playing better a little bit lately, but really hasn't done much. Steele's got a couple assists. You know, Terry's been in there. I think that they both had close opportunities here. A lot. The big problem too that I noticed with a lot of the Ducks is they're shooting like a couple inches above the net. You know, a lot of near misses with this team as well. But I mean, those are some names that I'm throwing out there to watch. Maybe those are players that the Ducks will go for. But you know, people are going to come in asking for Drysdale or Zegras. Like I said, I just don't see it happening. So. Maybe nothing that big happens. And then I'm kind of cracking up because we're talking about all this. And then a trade happens, Eddie. And it's like a three-way super minor trade right before we recorded the show, which cracking me up. But the Ducks end up going out and getting Carrick's brother, Trevor Carrick. They trade for him. They send Kopaka to the Sharks. And then, you know, the Sharks end up trading Kopaka to the Sens, and they wanted Yaros, so they pick him up, and then they also part ways with a seventh-round pick from 2022. So it's kind of interesting, this weird three-way trade. To me, it doesn't really mean a whole lot. I talked to our prospect minor expert, Thomas, today, and he's going to have an article on it, maybe going a little bit more depth to it, but not a really whole lot there. Another kind of just whatever, minor trade. I don't know if they wanted to unite the Carrick brothers, but this ain't no Niedermeyer brothers, right? So I don't know what that whole thing was all about. It didn't really seem like a big deal to me, but kind of disappointing because, you hear about Dubois and you're all excited. All right, we're going to do this. We're going to make a big move. We're going to help this team move forward. And then this comes out and you're just kind of like, okay, the real Bob Murray's back. I don't know, Eddie. I don't know. I mean, we're critical of Bob, but I'm just laughing because this, after all that, like, what's going on? I mean, I think he's definitely trying to work and do something, Eddie, but I'm with you. If it's one guy, is that going to fix the offense and the power play? I don't think so. And there's a couple other players we'll talk about a little bit later in the league news. There's some other guys on the trading block that we'll get into. But without getting into those players, Eddie, what do you think? I mean, they had this little minor league deal. It doesn't seem like anything significant to me.
Maybe it was more kind of a future considerations kind of thing for San Jose and the Ducks. So San Jose can flip that to Ottawa. I don't know. Maybe just Carrick. He suggested, or he made a suggestion, having his brother. I doubt it because they're not going to listen to a player on that. But I guess it's kind of cool him having his brother in San Diego, having two brothers play together. That should be interesting to see. Maybe San Diego goes and wins the championship. Who knows with that?
Yeah, I mean, the other part of this too, I mean, you just got to look at this team this season and where they're going. And, you know, we had this question too. We had IK Laos ask, you know, realistically, do you think the Ducks will become contenders again? And I do. I really do think that the Ducks will become a contender again. It's just not going to be this year. I know they're in a playoff spot. There's been some good things that the team has done. They're kind of just extremes, like we said, really good at some and really poor at others. But, you know, another situation I think, we had Jake Olson brings this up too. And a couple other Instagram people are, you know, what about Zegras? He's down with the goals. Why don't you bring him up? That's what I'm talking about. At this point, I don't think trying to trade for a big name player is necessarily going to do it. I'm like, you know what? Just bring Zegras up and play him. Go for it. What do you have to lose? I mean, really, what do you have to lose at this point? I would throw him up there and rock and roll. And if for some reason Manson's going to be out longer, maybe you do bring up Drysdale. I mean, I like what I've seen from Hakapa right now. Hutton's done well, a small sample size of one game. But that's kind of been our theme. I think we talked about that, you know, in a couple podcasts before the season. We said, hey, bring up the young guys. Throw them in there. Let's rock and roll. It's a shortened season anyways. Let's just see what happens, right? I mean, what's the worst thing that happens? They come up and they bomb? I really doubt that. I don't see Zegras and Drysdale bombing. I just don't. But, I mean, if you're going to get a big-name player in this shortened season and think he's going to turn the team into a contender overnight, I don't see that. I'd rather these younger guys get a crack at it. Like we said, especially with some of these injuries, if more injuries happen, I throw those guys in there and let's do this and see what happens. That's what I'm at. I'm kind of like let's just blow shit up. I mean, that's where I'm at. Let's throw in some of these guys and just roll the dice from there. I mean, what do you have to lose, right, Eddie?
Oh, no, I 100% agree with you. Like, I didn't want these players to make the opening night roster. I didn't want them to be stuck on this team where it seems like it's going to be it's going to hit reality soon and we're going to just sink to that bottom. And I don't want them being like full-time part of that. But right now when Ducks need scoring help and they haven't had a power play goal, why not bring those kids in and see what they got? Hey, if they start generating offense and they earn their spot each and every night, then keep them up then. If they can prove that they can play at this level and they're going to help the Ducks improve in those stats, and they can, especially a player like Zegras, where he's projected to be our future star, and they're going to a player that you can build a team around. Well, why not get a look at him and get him in a few games, put him in this situation, let him get a taste of this NHL action. He'd go back to San Diego, learn what he used from the NHL, and better his game down there. He comes up even more improved of a player. But like you said, we have nothing else to lose right now, you know, bearing an injury. But that's not really going to – yeah, it's kind of like what-if kind of thing, what-if all day. But I say try it. Try him out, and let's see what they have. And if they work out, then it makes these other players expendable, like players that you mentioned, the Jones, the Terrys, the Steeles. Yeah, I don't want to see either of them traded at all, especially still. I said, and I was just joking, or maybe I was like borderline serious, but I think changing the number had something to deal with his game. Yeah, he only has two apples so far, but I think he's played well. He's kind of opening up the ice for other players. He's making smart plays. A lot of these passes he's making, it just like there's no one to finish the play and no one to score, but I think he's playing some of his best hockey I've seen in since he's came into the league. I like that. But like I said, let's bring in Zegras and let's give him a few games and see if he can spark something with the power play. I mean, you can't go any worse than zero. If there's like a negative stat, I'm pretty sure the Ducks would be dipping their beaks into that too.
Exactly. I mean, that's been, oh man, you cracked me up with that. But yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to get a guy overnight and then, you know, try and turn this team around? I don't think so. You know, some of the other questions we had was Mark, the one and only, asked, you know, should the Ducks find more ways to score or build more of a defensive style of hockey? I don't really think this team can build much more defensively. I mean, yeah, Manson's out. Hakapa's doing well in there. You've got, you know, Walensky. We're kind of waiting on Mahura to see if he gets a crack at it a little bit more this season. I mean, Gibson's been crazy in net. I don't really think defense is the Ducks' issue so much. You know, like we said, lacking grit maybe a little bit. But, you know, the thing is that this team is not getting enough shots on goal. That's one of the problems. They're also not getting enough bodies in front, and they're more of the one and done type. They're shooting it and then that's it. We've seen moments here and there where they've done better in the forecheck and sustained some pressure, but that's really been the issue with this team, is getting in there, sustaining the forecheck for an extended period of time. We haven't seen that other than little spurts, and that's where I'm looking at. So hopefully the Ducks can do something like that and improve. Seems like when they play more high-speed teams that they end up doing that too. So we'll just kind of see what the Ducks do and see if Murray makes a trade. With that, we'll kind of go towards the last part of the show. We'll talk about league news. There's a lot of stuff you wanted to cover, Eddie. Unfortunately, more problems with watching games on the TV, I guess. NBC is going to kind of close up some things here, Eddie.
Yeah, so I guess at the end of 2021, NBC will close shop. The USA Network will begin covering games. The USA Network is another NBC universally owned company. And I guess NBC's new streaming service, Peacock, will air some of the games. I just see this going in a direction where it's going to charge fans more money to be able to watch games. This new Peacock streaming service, I'm throwing this out there. I'm pretty sure in the future, years from now, that's going to be the only way to watch these games on, well, not NBC, but the USA Network now. I just think it's more ways of limiting fans to the sport. I just don't understand why the NHL elects to do this. Like, you have NBA where it's way easier. Like, I can put on a game right now on YouTube TV or whatever other streaming services that I have and watch a game. I'm not a basketball fan. I think it's disgusting and sad that they're kind of limiting fans how they can watch this sport. You want to grow the game. You sit there and say hockey is for everyone. Yes, I get the slogan has nothing to do with the watching service, but make it accessible for everyone. It's not fair for these fans not to be able to have their team, especially in the situation we're at right now. A lot of people aren't working. A lot of people are at home. A lot of people need the sports just to kind of help with their everyday life. But not everyone's doing great in life right now. It's still in that area that a lot of people are struggling, and sometimes sports is that outlet to help them to just kind of navigate throughout their daily lives and stuff. And now they can't watch it. A lot of people are upset they can't watch the Ducks. Yeah, Ducks aren't playing that well. Ducks aren't going to be the Stanley Cup champions. They're not going to just completely blank out every team, but still, it's still good to watch your team. It's still good to watch a team that you've been watching and cheering for. And I just think it's an effed up situation where these fans can't, and the league's not stepping in. I don't know if the Ducks have a lot of power to say into it, but try to do something for these fans. Try to get them to see it. It's not fair that you should subject yourself to kind of just having to go to AT&T or DirecTV or just cable providers just to be able to watch your game and paying that extra money to be locked in a contract. A lot of people, can't afford that. And the $20, $30 a month streaming service is all they can afford at the limited budget. You shouldn't fault them for that. These games need to be marketed toward everybody to gain new fans, to kind of build your fan base. If not, you're still going to be stuck in the bottom of the barrel. You're going to have freaking volleyball or badminton outdoing you on ratings because they're easily accessible to watch.
Yeah, this whole thing is just frustrating. I don't know. It's just weird. And now they're going to switch over, see what's going to happen. That's going to affect some stuff as well. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a tough situation. Like you said, Eddie, with everything going on right now and then network switching and whatnot. It's just tough. I don't really have an answer other than there's other services out there you can try and use. There's those other streams that I'm not going to promote, but you can find them online too that, don't necessarily work. Or you can go to the gym like Eddie where they do pay for whatever cable provider and watch the games that way.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. It's just, and they have no problem putting the game on. The other day too, I didn't even really have to ask them. They're like, oh, you want the game on? Yeah, please. Cool. So I just had my little, it was yesterday. It was cool. I played hockey yesterday, so I had a small little just conditioning workout. So I was just in front of the TV the whole time for the first two periods watching the game, then going to my game, I had Dan Wood in my ear. I love Dan Wood and Steve Carroll. They illustrate the game so well. I can just, like, when they're talking, I can picture everything that's going on in the ice, and I love the way they call these games. I wish the Ducks would kind of transition and have them do some of the, I guess, the play-by-play on TV, too, and switch it up sometimes. It gets kind of redundant seeing the same people doing the game over and over again. You kind of can kind of predict their dialogue. I'm not trying to take away anything from them. I think they do a great job doing what they're doing, but I think some variety and having Dan Wood and Steve Carroll call some of the games on TV would be a good treat for fans. So they're a really good job at doing that. But yeah, I wish you guys the best of luck. Be careful with the, I believe it's called the VPN. You can change your setting location. I've seen a lot of people post on Facebook that the NHL Network is catching wind and they're like kicking you out indefinitely, suspending your access to it. So just be very careful. I wish I can tell you other ways to watch it. I wish I was more tech savvy. Say, hey, do this. You can get past it by doing this, but I don't, unfortunately. And the only reason why I might be able to watch the games right now because my buddy lets me use his Spectrum streaming service. If it wasn't for that, I don't know if I would go into a contract to get the Ducks games. I'd probably have to just stay at the gym for the next 52 times and kind of go off that schedule to watch the games. But I wish everyone the best of luck, and I hopefully in the near future that something gets figured out where fans can be able to watch their sport and their teams.
Yeah, they got to fix this. It's ridiculous. The number of people that have hit me up just this year alone, like, what do you do? Where do you watch it? I mean, even Phil Hewlett asked me, too. He's like, what's going on with this, that, and everything? And I'm just like, yeah, Phil, I know. Like, this is just the way it is. And he's just like, what the hell?
Wrong time to do it right now, especially with everything going on, this pandemic thing. Like, that's the worst time to start limiting fans of what they watch and their sports. And I hope I don't sound like, oh, well, boo-hoo, like, other people have problems, they can't watch their sports. But sports have a really big deal for a lot of people. And like I said, it's a good stress reliever. Like, when you're watching the game, it's hard to sit there and think about all the stress that's happening in your life. It's hard to think about, like, everything that's going on. You're just focused on watching the game and having that few hours of just kind of relaxation. You can't go to the game. So I guess the next best thing is kind of watching them. And it's unfortunate that a lot of fans have to wait. I know a few fans that are just don't get on Twitter or social media because they're waiting for the games to be archived so they can watch it a day or two later. But that's kind of no fun. It's always fun to watch the games live.
Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in right now, for sure, with all the stuff going on. You also have kind of a good news. I mean, I don't know if they're on TV, but you have the NWHL is playing in their playoff bubble. And they're going to play 5 games in 8 days and then start a single elimination. So you've got that going on, but I don't even know where I could watch that, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. I guess on Twitch you can go. I checked their website out on Saturday. I caught a little bit of a game. It was pretty good. It's fast. It seemed like they were skating faster than I've seen the Ducks skate. It was kind of fun to see. I didn't have a lot of time to watch it. I'd been on a rigorous training schedule, so just always out and about or always just too gassed. But yeah, I'm going to start catching a few of their games. They're playing on Twitch. I think you have to create an account with Twitch. It's free. You can catch the games. During the Isabel Cup, they're going to be showing them on NBC. I get the Cup Final, so you can watch it there. We'll try if see our schedule to cover some of the games to help promote them on Ducks and Pucks to try to give them kind of more promotion and get more fans watching those games too. But it's fun hockey. It's really fast. And I just want to see them drop the gloves too, just like I do with every hockey game. It's funny too, I guess, fans were saying that I guess on Twitch there was no censoring or anything, so you can hear the girls cuss and just kind of be hockey players and talk how hockey players are. And I think that's really a one advantage that they have too, that a lot of fans but see, I don't know. I think it's a good experience. I think one of the things, apologize for their language, or they're apologizing for the way they were talking. I was like, hell, don't apologize. They're freaking hockey players. They're talking hockey language. That's how they talk. Like, just let them talk. I think it's a good experience to see how hockey players interact with each other. And yeah, I'm looking forward to catching some of their games when I can, and definitely, hopefully, we can start, especially for the Isabel Cup, we can start promoting that and at least cover a game like we do with the Ducks.
Yeah, something to look forward to. I mean, more hockey is always better. So we'll see. And then if you have questions about that, we'll, you know, post stuff when those games are going on as well. So going back to the NHL, we had some more news, Eddie. Kind of a weird situation in Arizona. You had the former GM being suspended from hockey operations. What do you think's going on? And maybe elaborate a little bit on this.
Well, yeah, he was the GM that had that drama where he signed a deal with Arizona, but then all of a sudden he was speaking to New Jersey and then ends up going over there, and there's some bad blood because he already signed with Arizona, that drama. Then it came out that he was testing prospects illegally before the combine. He was running his own testing stuff, so he got caught with that. The Coyotes lost their first round pick because of that, and then now they pretty much came down, dropped the hammer on him, saying he's suspended from all hockey operations till December 21st, 2021 because of that illegal testing. But my thing is with this, like how do you really enforce that, Mike? Like, can't he just text whoever's the interim person over there in New Jersey and still have input without anyone knowing? I just don't see how they can really, really enforce that. But I guess it came down, and I think the Coyotes are the ones that are going to pay the most, and that's unfortunate because they lost their draft pick from it. But I guess we have to wait and see what happens. And I can't see him not having anything to do with New Jersey until December 21st. I think he'll have some kind of influence. It's just not going to be promoted, or it's just going to be on the down low where he just has input, but they're not taking his input, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're doing everything in person, I don't know. It sounds like, given what's going on in the world right now, everything you do online is tracked now by everybody. So, I mean, he'd have to do something without technology, I guess. I really don't know. I mean, that would be the only way maybe to deal with New Jersey, or, you know, secondhand have someone else go talk to him. You know, I don't know. It's a weird situation in, you know, with the Coyotes and everything.
Oh, yeah. Some better news, too. I know it's Detroit Red Wing news, but Bobby Ryan rocking his 54 number has scored 4 goals in the first 3 games with the club. That's a first in Red Wings history. It seems like he found his scoring touch, and he's having a great time over there. I'm happy. It's really, really good to see. He was struggling last season with the Senators with his alcoholism and things from his past that he had to overcome. But this shows that he kind of battled it, and he's fighting his demons. It's an everyday battle, but I'm glad everything's working out for him. He seems like he's gained that scoring touch. And, yeah, he's not going to get back to where he was years ago, but at least he can have some success with the organization. And hopefully, if he wants to stay there, he can. If not, they can trade him to a contender, and he has a shot of going for a cup. So I wish him nothing but the best. And it kind of sucks that I had to secretly cheer for the Red Wings for Bobby Ryan, but it's for Bobby Ryan, so I don't mind doing that, even though I'll probably throw up later for saying that because it's the Red Wings.
Yeah, it's probably the only player I would root for on the Red Wings right now.
Yeah, another weird situation is the Florida Panthers, Keith Yandel. I guess he was before the season started, he got put with the second squad, and then they told him that he didn't really have a place with the team, and they're moving in a different direction. He has a no-movement clause. I don't know if they asked him to move it or if he's just refusing to waive that. But he was in jeopardy of being a healthy scratch for the first game of the season. And that was kind of bad because he has an Ironman streak. I think it was the third in the league of continuous play. And he prides himself just like Andrew Cogliano did until he was suspended. But it was threatening to come to an end. Fortunately for him, he was put in the lineup. The first 2 games he played, he scored goals. So obviously he's doing something right. But it seems like he's still on the block. And it's going to be up to him and where he wants to go and if he wants to waive his no movement clause. I think this is a player, along with the St. Louis Blues, Vincent Dunn has been put on the block. I think these two offensive defensemen players can help the Ducks going on the questions of what we can do to improve. I think Murray would take a look at maybe Vincent Dunn a little bit more than Keith Yandel, because Keith Yandel does have that no-movement clause. It's going to be kind of up to him where he wants to go. I don't know if he was wanting to go to a rebuilding team in Anaheim. I don't know if he's going to want to lose half of his salary because there's no state taxes in Florida. So that's going to be a tricky situation. But these are two players that can help the Ducks in the blue line and kind of help generate offense. So I think these are kind of the players that Murray might try to swing on the fence for. I'm still saying McKenzie Weegar too. I think Murray's still going to try to go for him.
Yeah, you did mention that. We talked about Weegar earlier in the offseason or whatever, so that was a name that popped up. But Yandel and Dunn are kind of interesting because if you're going to add a little bit defensively like we had on one of the fan questions, but then you want to get some offense out of the blue line instead of just going for a forward, you know, I don't know the Ducks will do it. It's just something to look at because these two guys are probably going to end up, you know, going to another team here soon. And I don't know if they want to get someone else that can add some scoring because we all remember what happened with Juice, right, Eddie? He got picked up off waivers, and that was a bummer because I was looking forward to seeing him providing some offense on the blue line. And with him, you know, going bye-bye, maybe the Ducks do try to get one of these similar type players. I don't know, but it, definitely keep your eye out on these two.
Yeah, hopefully. Knock on wood. Let's see if he's going to make another like minor league move or future consideration. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to future considerations trade. It just it kind of signifies the start of the season in Marie Zimmo. And yeah, it's just going to irritate me, but still, I kind of want to see it so I can be kind of irritated, if that makes kind of weird sense. But oh well. Something real quick, Oscar Lindholm from the Philadelphia Flyers. He's the one that overcame cancer. He was asked if he could wear a pink ribbon on his helmet, kind of just a cancer ribbon, and they agreed. So I think that was pretty good. Good for the league for doing that, to let him just kind of sport that accomplishment. Just cancer is a deadly thing, and it sucks. F it. So I'm glad the league approved that. I wouldn't see why not. They had those stupid advertisements. That was last podcast's complaints. But going over to Washington, first they have these new third jerseys. I think they look nice. They look really, really clean. I like the colors. I think they hit it out of the park with this. So that's one positive that came out of Washington. But the negative is they caught four of their players violated some of the COVID rules. They were caught in a hotel together, I guess having some beers or whatnot. Ovi, Kunetsov, Orlov, and Samsonov. Apparently, Ovechkin's wife came out saying that Orlov and Ovi have like antibodies and they can't get it or something. I don't know. That's kind of weird. I haven't heard anything. But his wife went on a big rant saying she doesn't understand what's going on and why they're getting in trouble if they're on the bench together, if they're hugging each other after goals, if they're in the tunnel screaming at each other, trying to get each other pumped up, face to face interactions like that, but they can't be in a hotel room. I get it. I understand, and I'm in agree with that. I think it's kind of stupid. They got fined and they got suspended the four games. So it came out after too. It's kind of weird, and this is where I don't believe it. I'm not really going to dive into it. But Samsonov apparently tested positive for COVID. I think that was more. It seemed like more of a PR stunt, just like to kind of show other teams like, oh, don't do this and blah blah blah. I don't think it's really true. It's something that's rubbed me the wrong way, but that's a whole different subject I don't want to get into. But I get it. I think it's stupid they can't be in a hotel having beers together, especially if they're on the same rink. But I guess rules are rules, and if you agree to play, you have to abide by the rules, and you unfortunately got caught. I know there's other players that probably do it, just like when I was in the Army too. We did the same thing, a bunch of rules, and we used to do dumb crap, and hopefully we didn't get caught. Sometimes we did, and you have to pay the consequences. So hopefully in the future they can just be more careful not to get caught and just kind of enjoy that time. I just think it's unfair, though. I don't know. These guys are on the road. They're trying to get that chemistry, and it just doesn't happen on the ice. That chemistry comes from off the ice too. And I didn't see anything they did wrong. They broke the rules, so however, they got fined. They got those games off. So it's a lesson learned. Either don't do it again or don't get caught.
Yeah, this. I mean, we could do a podcast for hours on this. I don't know. This stuff just frustrates the hell out of me. The inconsistency of these rules regarding COVID. That's all I'm going to say, because otherwise we'll be talking for another hour about this. I don't know, dude. I just lose my mind when this stuff comes up, Eddie. It's just different rules in different states and different cities, different governor. I don't know. I don't want to get into all that crap, but you know what? Just use common sense, be safe. That's the best thing that I can suggest from any of this. So let's wrap it up with, you got a couple other things from Dallas and Pittsburgh. Let's wrap it up with those couple things here.
Yeah. So Joe Pavelski scored his 800th career point. Yeah. Boo. He's a shark, but still I have to respect that as a player and a hockey fan. So congratulations to him. Dallas had their games postponed due to the COVID stuff, but they started off hot. They blanked the Predators. Hell yeah, 7-0. So that was really fun to see. And too bad the fans weren't there to yell at the Predators saying how they suck and it's all their fault. But they started off the season hot. They're without Sagan, they're without Hintz, and they're without Bishop. So Khudobin's getting the starts, and they're 3-0. So I guess it was a good thing that they're not in the Pacific Division in the Blues. So hopefully the Ducks can take care of the Blues after they do Arizona, and we don't have to worry about Dallas, because Dallas is really hungry, and they're looking really good. And they're without some of their top players, too. So that's going to be a team to look out for that's hungry for a cup. Do you want to say anything about the Stars, or am I going to move on to the Pittsburgh Penguins?
No, just the only thing about the Stars, it just cracks me up how they're not in our division. You know, that whole geography thing, I just don't understand what the hell. How do we get St. Louis, Minnesota, like what is going on with that? We talked about that before the season. I believe the geography. I get it with Canada again being safe and all the stuff going back to the other situation with the Capitals, but I just don't get the geography. But like you said, maybe it's going to work out better for the Ducks.
Yeah, hopefully. But okay, well, the Penguins and Jim Rutherford, their GM that brought them two cups, just abruptly resigned. He cited personal reasons. There hasn't really been anything other than just him citing personal reasons. I don't know what's going on for him to just up and do that for the season. Obviously, there's something that's bigger than hockey, and I wish him and his family all the best, and I hope whatever that he's dealing with, he gets it worked out, and he can, if he's ready to come back in the offseason and try either with the Penguins or re-sign with another team so he can just kind of leave on his own terms. I wish him all the best. You did have Patrick Ullvan get promoted to interim GM, so it just went one of the weird situations, a weird storyline that come into this short and early season. But regardless of what it is, there's something, it's obviously something big for him to step down so abruptly, so we wish him all the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, that's the other team I like to follow, too. And, yeah, I mean, he did a great job for the team. So, who knows what it is. I'm sure we'll find out something a little bit later. But, like you said, wish him the best moving forward. So, we'll see what happens. Keep an eye on the Pittsburgh Penguins as well. And, you know, with the Ducks overall, like we said on this show, it's going to be interesting to see how they do. Like we said, it's kind of a tale of two teams, with the offense struggling, but penalty kill and goalie situation being fantastic. The Ducks, like we said, very much in the mix. But I think the biggest thing looking at this, Eddie, is, you know, just to wrap up the show, is I'm not really concerned about this team being a playoff team. I know a lot of people, you know, saw them, you know, being in that playoff position and posting the screenshots of the standings and whatnot. And yeah, they're not playing horrible, and they're not towards the bottom, which, of course, we don't want that. But, you know, I still have a reserved approach to this season with the way that they're doing right now because, like some of the fans we had asked, you know, can the Ducks rely on Gibson to, you know, get this team to the playoffs? I would say maybe, but, you know, as far as going and some of these other teams in the division and, you know, trying to make a run with the setup that the Ducks currently have, I just don't see it. And it's not to be pessimistic. I just rather the Ducks this season focus on the young guys, develop the young players, and you know, go from there because if you're just going to try to get that one guy and trade and be like, oh, we made this big trade and go for broke, I think we're going to be disappointed. Like I said, go with the youth and go all in. It seems like we're kind of half-assing it, you know what I mean? And I'd rather we get another higher draft pick and we at the same time we get a lot of these younger guys more of the experience because even if the Ducks do squeak in the playoffs, if you really think that they're going to get past Vegas, St. Louis, Colorado, those are the teams that everyone's saying that are going to be in the top three. If you think that they're going to get past all three, I don't think so. Maybe one, maybe two, but I don't know. I don't know if they can just do that. It's going to be tough to see if they can get past those kind of teams and get up there. One for sure, two would be tough, you know, to get up there. And then, of course, you know, battle out in the conference final. So that's what I'm looking for with this team moving forward. Any final thoughts that you want to give, Eddie, as we wrap up the show?
No, like I said, I just want them statistically to improve. I probably said that word wrong. I think I have a little lisp when I say that. But I want them to improve. I want them to build off of last season and just kind of improve. This power play, it's not improving. You guys are just going to step backwards. Like something has to – you can't be a bottom five team on the power play this season. Something has to change. You have to at least – be a bottom six, maybe just go up one and just make some improvement. Find out who you are, find out what you want to be as a team, and go from there. As far as the playoffs, yeah, it's going to be fun to see the Ducks make it. And there's always that chance, that Cinderella chance. But these teams that are going to be in the playoffs that are projected, they're just too heavy of a teams for the Ducks to get past. And you can only rely on Gibson so much. Like, he can stop the first and second shots. But when he has that third and fourth shots, you're just going to be cute in front of the net and just kind of give them a love tap when they're all in your goalie's face. It's not going to cut it. It's just not. I don't care what league you're playing in. I don't care. You're playing beer league. I think some of those old guys that can barely skate, they're gonna try to like bump you harder than I've seen from the Ducks. It's not gonna be that way. I hope the Ducks improve and just keep an eye out if the Ducks start falling. Don't get into panic mode. The Ducks never had a true number one overall pick, and it seems like Owen Power's name keeps coming up for next year's draft. A 6'6" defenseman. That's primed to be a superstar in the league. I think that's someone that the Ducks can definitely use. It's going to be hard this season if the Ducks start trending in that direction, but we have to wait and see. But as of right now, I don't care what the standings. I don't care if 2 weeks from now the Ducks are, you know, second to the first or first place. It's, they can't hold on to that much longer. Now, if I'm wrong, they go and win the Stanley Cup, and hell, that's freaking awesome. I would happy to admit. I love to admit when I'm wrong and things like that. I definitely can't see it. You can't win a Stanley Cup with the Ducks or have playoff success with the Ducks have right now on the ice. It's just not going to work. Like I said, just if they can improve on each game and they can improve on the stats from last season, if you can get that experience under our coach's belt to be a better coach and all these players develop and bring in those younger guys from San Diego and help them transition, develop, and have that better team, then, yeah, that's something I really, really want. I think number one I want – every fan to be able to watch the damn game when they want, but that's kind of a reaching way too far.
Yeah, and we'll still cover it. Obviously, you know, we do the live game updates on Twitter and other social media as well. And we may or may not do watch parties later this year. I mean, the stay-at-home order was lifted in California, so that's a good thing. But I'm going to do some research and look at some things logistically and whatnot and figure some stuff out. There's, you know, everything. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking at, what we did before. I'm thinking the Steelcraft place might be the way to go because it's not an indoor place, right? And you, like you said, you could sit outside. It has a huge screen. We had a great couple times we went there, and people can space out and everything. We can do it safely and everything. But again, I got to call some people and do some things and you know, make sure everything's done correctly and also at least, you know, with safety in mind. You know, like I said, it, you know, we'll be on here talking forever about all these different crazy rules in different states and cities and countries and whatever, but it may be something to do. And we're still doing giveaways as well. We have things that we'll be posting, different jerseys. I know Eddie's been giving away some stuff on social media. We'll be doing those things as well, so stay tuned for that. You can check out the shirts at tpnhockey.com. You can also go for our Ducks and Pucks branded stuff on onthevolley.com. Yeah, check out the apparel there. Just when you go there in the search box, just type in Ducks and Pucks and stuff will be on there. And you can also go to bit.ly/dnpgear to get that stuff as well. So look for those. We appreciate all the support. We'll try to do the show every week, but it may be a week and a half. It's just kind of depending on our schedules and whatnot. So thanks for all the support, and let's go Ducks.